Let's read together Daniel chapter 2. In this chapter, we have Daniel's interpretation of the dream that God gave Nebuchadnezzar concerning world history as it would unfold from the time of the Babylonian Empire until the return of Christ and the establishment of his worldwide earthly kingdom. Let's begin by reading the first 23 verses. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, "I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream." Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made an ash heap." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other one who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time, that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Let's begin our study of this chapter with some background notes. The occasion of Daniel chapter 2 is a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, which Daniel interpreted. God revealed the interpretation of the dream to Daniel. And after thanking and praising the Lord in verses 20 through 23, Daniel went in before the king with the interpretation. And that brings us to our doctrinal and teaching points. So doctrinal point number one, the statue in Nebuchadnezzar's dream represents the times of the Gentiles. The statue in Nebuchadnezzar's dream represents the times of the Gentiles, verses 24 through 45. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation." The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand, and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom, inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly in potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. In Luke chapter 21, verse 24, the Lord Jesus said, "And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." The times of the Gentiles began with the Babylonian conquest of Jerusalem and will continue until the Lord returns after the future tribulation period and delivers Jerusalem from Gentile domination. These times of the Gentiles are represented in the statue of Nebuchadnezzar's dream going down from head to toe. The head of gold represents Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. Verse 38. The chest and arms of silver represent the Medo-Persian Empire. The stomach and thighs of bronze represent the Greek Empire. And the legs of iron represent the Roman Empire. The two legs of iron probably represent the Roman Empire as it divided into west and east. The feet and toes of the statue were partly of iron and partly of clay or brittle pottery. We see that this does not represent a fifth empire, but the final stage of the fourth empire. It's hard to fit this stage of the Roman Empire into past history. So we believe it is prophetic of the last days before the return of the Lord. For this reason, it is called the Revived Roman Empire, and it will consist of 10 sub-kingdoms and their kings, based on the 10 toes of the statue here in Daniel chapter 2, as well as the 10 horns of the fourth beast of Daniel chapter 7, as we'll see, and the 10 horns of the first beast of Revelation chapter 13. These beasts in Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 13 also represent the revived Roman Empire of the end times. Perhaps the present European Union is the early stages of this revived Roman Empire. The EU increasingly has the strength of iron in its control of European affairs, but it also is brittle like pottery because of its different member nations. Notice that the whole statue is smashed all at once, including the gold, silver, bronze, iron, and clay. Verse 45. For this reason, many students of Bible prophecy believe that vestiges of all four empires remain until the return of the Lord, as we see even today. Babylon is represented in modern Iraq. Persia is represented in present-day Iran. Syria today is a vestige of the old Greek Empire, especially after Alexander the Great, when that whole area became the Seleucid Kingdom. And of course, Rome is represented in Europe and the West. Question: is the United States represented in the foot stage of the statue? Does one of the toes, for example, represent the United States in the revived Roman Empire? Answer: we don't know, and no one can be dogmatic at the present time. What we can say for sure is that the statue of Nebuchadnezzar's dream represents a wide scope of world history, from the Babylonian Empire right on to the time of the end and the return of Christ. The statue in Nebuchadnezzar's dream represents the times of the Gentiles. Doctrinal point number two. The stone in Nebuchadnezzar's dream represents the return of the Lord. The stone in Nebuchadnezzar's dream represents the return of the Lord. In the dream, the stone that strikes the statue becomes a great mountain, which then fills the whole earth. We see in verse 44 that this mountain represents a kingdom that God sets up, which will never be destroyed. Now comes the big question. Does the stone and the mountain represent the first coming of Christ and the resulting Christian church, or does the stone and the mountain represent the second coming of Christ and the resulting earthly kingdom of Christ, known as the millennial kingdom? Let me list three reasons why we believe the stone and the mountain represent the second coming of Christ and his worldwide millennial kingdom, which will merge with eternity and thus never be destroyed. Number one. At the first coming of Christ, there were not 10 sub-kingdoms or divisions making up the Roman Empire, as there will be in the revived Roman Empire when the Lord returns. Number two, in the dream, the smiting stone comes in like a missile and crushes the statue suddenly, and the dust is blown away so that not a trace is left. Verse 35, this never happened at the first coming of Christ. The Lord did not suddenly bring down all Gentile power, and the church did not suddenly replace all Gentile power. But when the Lord returns to this earth in judgment, all worldly power will be removed, and the Lord will establish his worldwide kingdom of peace. And number three, the church is still not taking over the world. If anything, the church is ebbing in world affairs. For these reasons, then, and others that could be given, we believe that the stone in Nebuchadnezzar's dream does not represent the first coming of Christ, but rather the return of the Lord in the future. Now, what about practical application? Decide to be a Daniel. Decide to be a Daniel. Verses 46 through 49. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal the secret." Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel is a great example and model of a faithful believer. We should not only dare to be a Daniel, but we should decide to be a Daniel. Daniel not only showed courage, but he made other decisions that we would do well to emulate. We see that Daniel did not take any credit for himself when he shared the interpretation of the dream with Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel gave all the credit to the Lord, as we see there in verses 28 through 30. And then at the end of the chapter, we see that Daniel does not just think of himself when he is exalted. He put in a good word for his friends who had prayed with Daniel. Daniel made good and godly decisions, and so should we. And we can, if we follow the example and model of Daniel. So not only dare to be a Daniel, but decide to be a Daniel.